Hello, and welcome to the Creativity Snippets podcast with myself, Barbara Wilson, and Tracy Stanley. We're passionate about encouraging creativity, and our co-authors of the book Creativity Cycling Help Your Team Solve Complex Problems with Creative Tools. I live near Nice in the south of France, and Tracy lives in Brisbane, Australia. We started recording our podcast conversations at the beginning of 2020. To provide information and inspiration on applying creativity to all aspects of your life. So today we'll be discussing boredom and creativity. Hello, Tracy.
Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Before we go into the topic, though, I just wanted to share something with you all. And I think this is a great opportunity on our podcast to share things we've discovered that can help our creativity in some kind of way. I'm preparing a photography exhibition, and I've discovered a great app that I really want to give some publicity to, really. And it's actually an app coming from Australia, Tracy, and it's called Milanote. You can sign up for. I'm in no way getting anything from Milanote for advertising this, but I think it's well worth exploring. What it does is provide you with all sorts of tools that can help with your project planning, but in particular, it provides a kind of workspace where you can put things and move them around. So it's a bit like having a whiteboard on your wall where you can, stick pictures up and then move them around so you can group them, or put bits of writing up that you can group them together. So you can plan a project out. I'm using it for my photography to see all the photographs in one place and how they fit together. So really recommend that. I'll put a reference to it in the notes when we publish the podcast. So Tracy, this topic today, boredom and creativity. Tell us more about why this topic caught your attention.
Thanks, Barbara, and thank you for the tip on that app, which I'm looking forward to playing with in the spirit of creativity and learning. So your question about the topic today, boredom and creativity. Well, last year I was listening to a conversation on the radio between the presenter and a psychologist, and I found it fascinating. I guess it's two words or two concepts, boredom and creativity, don't commonly sit comfortably together in the same center, or when you think about what they are, they seem to be opposites in some way. So I listened to the conversation and I liked how it challenged my assumptions about what boredom really was. And I know today we're going to be talking about what it is and perceptions about it, as well as definitions. And I had never considered what impact boredom has on creativity. So that's when I reached out and said, I think this is a good thing to do a bit more research about and to have a chat about on our Creativity Snippets podcast. So, Barbara, can you start? Can you tell us a little bit more about your perceptions on what boredom is?
Yeah, thanks, Tracy. Yes, my initial perception was that I couldn't see a connection at all between boredom and creativity, I have to admit. I started doing some research myself on it as well. I think it's a good place to start is looking at, what is boredom? How do we define boredom? And just a very simple definition I found in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is the state of being weary and restless through lack of interest. Sorry, I've just got to get a sip of my water. So, what is boredom then? I suppose what's interesting there is that it comes across as a very negative state. It's a kind of emotion that lets you know you're doing something that doesn't really give you satisfaction as well. It can tell you two things. One, you're not fully present and engaged in your current task, or that your task is not meaningful to you. I think there about, when I've listened to when my daughter was at school, sometimes she'd say, I'm bored by this. And it was that she wasn't fully engaged with whatever it was she was doing. So it's kind of based on it's a negative emotion. It's kind of based on our attention. When we feel bored, we don't really feel stimulated. And you may feel sort of unfulfilled around that. It leads to a sort of feeling of tiredness or agitation, sometimes feeling irritated and stressed. None of which is very good in any kind of environment, and certainly not good for creativity. You know, I can remember, Tracy, a time when I was just doing a filing job when I was back at college to fill in the summer holidays to get some money for the next term. And I was so bored. I think it went on for 3 weeks. I could just count. I was like counting the minutes and the hours on the days. It was mind numbing. And I really didn't have any sense at all in the time that I could be doing anything different or creative. I just needed to get through it.
But you, I guess, were you recognizing you were bored, Barbara? I mean, you were. Or you just, how are you sort of thinking about that?
Yeah, I
the
suppose.
Reason I,
yeah,
the reason
go
I,
on.
Go on.
No, go on.
I don't think so. I don't know. I work a lot with children now. I work in a school in the, you know, innovation and creativity and entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes, kind of, when the kids are frustrated or, you know, or they could be bored, they sort of play up. And I don't know if they recognize. That's why they're playing up. I mean, there could be all sorts of interpretations. But it sounds very much like you were very much aware that you were bored in this job.
Yeah, I think boredom is something that we can see as a state that we're in at times, you know, and we are people often sort of say, oh, I'm bored. You know, that job bores me now. I've been doing it for too long, or it's just not stimulating enough. I think it is something that when I suppose most people are aware, would children always be aware of that? I'm not sure. I think younger children find it easier to create activities around them that prevents them getting into that bored state. It's often when we're in a situation that we have no control over. So thinking about the, you know, the state of boredom, it's often, you know, when we just can't, we can't get interested. We can't. There's no feeling of excitement. We're having difficulty getting motivated to do whatever it is. And it could, of course, I'm putting all the blame, if you want, and it's not a blame, but on the self. But it could also be the way some jobs are organised in companies, or jobs are organised generally, or maybe even, dare I say it, how parts of the education system is organised. That creates that. Do you have anything add to that?
Yep, I agree with all those comments. I'm certainly, you know, I guess if we look at what's sort of happening when you're feeling bored, and you've described some of those circumstances, you know, you're not interested, and you're perhaps restless, lack of motivation, which is probably just related to the task that you're doing. I know that when I'm bored, I've got this feeling of I'm wasting time. And I guess it relates, as you said, to this sort of the lack of control over your certain situation. But, you know, given it's obviously been a reality for us, and I'm sure it's been a reality for those listening today, how do you think we can handle boredom? How should we react to it once we realise, look, I am bored?
Yeah, an interesting question. I think initially, first of all, it's important that we can kind of recognize it, and to recognize that, you know, in a way we're out of control because we're doing something that doesn't interest us. So we maybe are doing something where we have no control over. I think what's important there is to find something that you can find a control over, you know, find an activity that gives you, or even within the activity that you're doing, creates some way of making it yours. You know, maybe I think there's always, I was thinking even to the filing job, I'm sure that there were ways in which I could have more creatively invented how to file. I'm saying that now, I'm not sure we could have done, but you know, it would have been a challenge.
Maybe.
But I think if you can find activities that offer you more control, then that can help. I mean, I can also remember working, you know, I worked with a lot of people when I was working in manufacturing who were quite bored by their jobs. But what they often did was to create satisfaction outside their work by, lots of other different activities. I was quite amazed at the range of activities that people threw themselves into. And, I discovered one of the guys who worked in a warehouse where I was working in the company I was working with at the time, was sort of well known even in the US for his I think it was almost something, I'd have to say something to do with pigeon fancying or pigeon racing or something like that. But he'd made a name for himself outside of the work situation. I guess what he'd done is given up on doing something to control his work situation, but found something outside of work that he could get great satisfaction from.
It's a good example. A good example. It's interesting. I find myself when I'm thinking about when am I most bored? Because I was thinking about this conversation when I last took a flight, and when I'm taking a flight on a long haul flight, and I sort of look up and see that like it's 8 hours to go, and I'm trapped. So that relates to your comments about lack of control, and I start looking around at the other passengers and wondering what their stories are, and I make these things up really in my head. I think that I kind of know all the passengers by the time we've arrived. That's kind of my mind wandering and flittering. I find it very, very hard. Like, this is really when I'm most bored, if I don't have a piece of paper and a pencil. And I guess it's just like children, because when I have a piece of paper and a pencil, when I'm feeling bored and frustrated, my mind is wandering, I can at least start scribbling. And I guess that's really the kind of the connection to creativity.
Yeah, now that's interesting because I think what you've touched on there is a really important point. In that, I think boredom, as is being discussed in some of the literature we've been reading in terms of its links with creativity, is actually being wrongly named. I think what you've identified is a kind of downtime. So when you're on a plane and there's nothing else to do, you could say, yes, I'm bored. On the other hand, there's a kind of downtime element to it because you can't do any other activities, or rather, the activities on a plane are quite limited that you can do. And
Agree.
if we kind of rename that, if we turn it from something negative into a this is positive downtime for me, how do I prepare for that downtime? And as you said, it's important for you to have a pen and paper with you, then you can really make use creatively of that downtime. I'm aware hit there of the example often used with J.K. Rowling. She was said to have had the idea for the Harry Potter series while on a delayed train journey with little else to do. Now that's been again linked with the concept that she was bored on the train journey, and so she invented the Harry Potter series. However, I would suggest that it was more of it was a downtime. She couldn't do anything else. She let her mind wander, and out popped some ideas that were incredibly creative. So maybe, if we rename boredom this sort of downtime, we can create space within it by, having the tools available, like a pen and pencil, to make something of it. I mean, Tracy,
Absolutely, absolutely.
you,
I like the
yeah.
renaming idea very much so.
I
As
think,
you were talking, I
go
was
on.
thinking,
Yeah,
Ron,
go on.
go on.
So, no, I was
Oh,
just
okay.
going to, yeah, we're not getting there.
No, finish. I'm stopping talking.
Right. No, in fact, I was going to invite you in to talk a bit more about the children that you work with because, you were saying that sometimes they get bored, and you're working with them to spark creative ideas. So, what have you noticed around boredom and downtime and children, especially the older
Exactly,
children?
and mind wandering and time to explore. I guess I think specifically about an exercise we used to run a lot last year around. We'd give these children, these students, a complexity challenge, a really big challenge, like some sort of one of the United Nations sustainable goals, and say, we'd like you to solve it And you can use any of the resources here in our innovation precinct. And we had all sorts of resources. You know, they could paint, they could sculpt, they could make the clothes, they could do whatever they wanted to. And my anxiety was they'd sort of, we'd give them the task and then we'd say, the time is all your own. And we'd just sort of walk around as advisors if they wanted to sort of to run an idea by us. And I know as a relatively new educator of children, I'd be sort of anxious because the boys would be mucking up and rocking on their chairs, or they'd be doing stuff and teasing the girls. And I think, oh, something happening. And I guess a little bit perhaps relates to their age, but a lot of it was just them sort of thinking about and exploring ideas and just doing things while they sort of considered what their options might be. And I know that at the end of both of the classes I was involved with, I needn't have worried because they had considered and come up with something really good by the end. And it was just kind of I couldn't see inside their heads with their creative process, but they just needed a bit of time and prompting, and our process allowed them to sort of to talk to each other and see what each other were doing, and that really inspired the ideas. But for some of them, I felt that they were bored, particularly some of the boys, I have to say, because they sort of seemed to be sort of mucking up more. But it came good at the end, and I've learned to just to sit with the process and don't worry that. And it will come good. And they came up with some wonderful, wonderful solutions.
That's a great example, actually, Tracy. And it's reminded me of the sort of work we used to do on creativity residentials with adults, even. And it wasn't that dissimilar that on an MBA program, adults often expect to have something very guided, you know, maybe a case study to get their teeth into, and which they can discuss. And sometimes on our residential schools, on the creativity module, we would just leave it very open-ended and tell them to come up with something, come up with an idea for doing something, you know, and they had to work on it. So we'd make it, you know, really open-ended. And a lot of people would feel really uncomfortable for a while doing this. And sometimes people did start to complain about it. Other times, you know, there were other people who threw themselves into it. I guess, again, it's down to personality. You know, some people like to be guided far more than others. But it was always, there were some interesting end results. I can't recall a situation in which no group, you know, failed it. There was no group that actually failed to come up with something interesting at the end. So great work, and it's great to start at that sort of adolescent stage as well, Tracy.
Thank you. I'm learning more than them, I think.
Well, it's a totally different way of educating, and of course they'll feel uncomfortable initially because it isn't something they're used to. They're used to going into a classroom and being taught, you know, and what you're doing is giving the power to them. And that has all that possibility of unleashing creativity. So perhaps that's
Absolutely.
power and creativity. There's another topic for the future.
Exactly. And that's also positive. And it's interesting, you know, we've talked about boredom in such negative terms, but you know, there really needs to be reframing of this time when you're feeling a bit lost or frustrated as an opportunity space.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so just can we kind of perhaps start to summarize that, I think, at this stage, because I think that the one point though that you've made there is that, you know, it does have a negative connotation, and we do need to be also careful that boredom can be negative. So if people are not guided, if they don't have some kind of guidance for how they might make, you know, use of their downtime, then for some people it can have, you know, different consequences. You know, there's been a certain amount of research on how boredom has perhaps led to more vitriol flying around social media. I mean, social media has certainly got very much more negative over the years. You know, the people are almost, you know, on edge, ready for a fight on social media, you know, thinking about ex formerly Twitter. And
Absolutely.
it's almost as if people some people have become more sadistic, and that has been put down to boredom as well. So as a society, I think it's a really important issue that perhaps we should be doing more to look into. However, I think what's interesting is this whole thing we both talked about, the need to almost reinvent the term, and rather than call it boredom, call it downtime. And downtime is a kind of passive incubation process. You know, we've been talking a lot about incubation in the past, and we wrote about it in our book in terms of creativity. And I think that's a very positive process, you know, that incubation happens when we've got a problem and we go away and do something totally different, and we let the problem sit. And then, you know, we can see if ideas come up. With a more passive incubation period, I would say, you know, maybe we haven't got that problem that's going to sit, but we just let ideas come, see what happens.
I like that idea. I like that idea, just of being calm and sitting with it and recognizing this is where you are and the opportunity that sitting with it, with being freed from whatever else normally takes your time, provides for your thinking and your mind exploration type activities. You know, you don't, yeah. Because normally when I'm sort of trying to get stuff done, I'm so focused on it. There's no room for anything else. There's no room for creativity, and you need to give yourself that time. That opportunity to to explore. And as
Absolutely.
I said earlier, my learning is that when I give myself that time, I need to have some way of capturing my ideas so I don't forget them.
That's important. That's important. I thought it might be appropriate here as well, Tracy, to just think about the takeaways for the workplace of this. And I came across a great article on Forbes in 2022 by Naz Behishti, where offers up sort of some practical ways to tap into the power of downtime in the workplace. If I can just run through these very quickly. The first is
Yep, please go ahead.
resist the scroll. Now, this is quite interesting because there's a whole load of debate going on in England, in the UK, and in France about phones and phones in schools. But you know, we all know that feeling, the sudden urge to pick up our phone or tap the mouse and scroll through our social media feed. You know, if we can resist that urge and fill up that time, sit with the discomfort at doing nothing for a few minutes, and then just see what arises. So, and it's a message, I think, message for me as well as any. I mean, it's a message for all of us. Also,
Absolutely.
the second takeaway she has is to schedule downtime. You know, you plan it into your day. And one of the points I've been interested in for years is how teams can have reflection time, how they can build reflection time into their work, and allowing, say, a couple of hours on a Friday afternoon for people to reflect. I also encourage leaders in my coaching to build in some sort of reflection, which I would name here as downtime, time when there's nothing else booked in which they can think and come up with ideas, reflect on what's been happening. You know, etc. The
So
final
important and sometimes so difficult to do because it's just so much pressure to be busy, busy and have all the minutes occupied by calls and meetings and so
It
forth.
has to be diaried in really with a, you know, and kept as that sort of precious moment. The final point is to create a culture that allows for that, and that kind of fits on really, doesn't it, Tracy, and what you just said. Create a culture that allows for rest and recovery. Allocate days with no meetings or blocks of time where it's okay not to respond to emails or texts. I mean, wow, imagine that's quite revolutionary nowadays. Allow your employees to unplug. Make mental health days when employees can step away from their devices and to-do lists. Make that the norm, not the exception. I mean, that's such a big ask, but it would be so invigorating for organizations if they could do that. So,
A great article.
yeah,
That
go
was
on.
from Forbes, Barbara was saying, by Naz
Yeah.
Behesti. We put it in the notes for those of you who'd like to read more about it. Do you have any other comments, Barbara, before I
No, not really. No, I think that's as much as I wanted to say today on the topic of, I think, having started off talking about boredom, we've kind of meandered a bit through the topic until we've reached a sort of more positive take on, look at this as downtime and plan for it and then allow your creativity in. So, Tracy, over to you.
Thanks. And that's a good place to end. You know, we really want our listeners to, if the only thing they get from the webinar is the conversation is about, take this opportunity to view it more positively and how you can make it a more positive experience. We think that will enhance your creativity and your overall sort of feelings of positiveness, I guess. Anyway,
No,
so
yeah,
everyone, thank you for
absolutely.
listening into our chat. Our chat. If you'd like to learn more about Barbara and my experiences, you can find us both online during those rare times when you give yourself the time to do that. You can find Barbara at barbara-wilson.com and myself at tjstanley.com. And of course, you can buy our book, Creativity Cycling, Help Your Team Solve Complex Problems with Creative Tools, on Amazon and Book Depository and a whole lot of other great bookstores. So thank you for listening in, and Barbara and I wish you both a very creative day. Thanks,
Thank
Barbara.
you. Thanks, Tracy, and thanks, everybody. Okay, bye.